Application-oriented college English course.
应用型大学英语综合教程第一册练习册，由上海交通大学电子音像出版社录制出版。
Unit 1, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills. Listening. Section A, Listening Comprehension. Task 1.
Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Researchers in Australia have found that tall people earn higher wages than their shorter counterparts. An extra 10 centimeters in height means 3% higher wages. They also found that chubby people earn more than those who are skinnier. From Sydney, here's Nick Bryant. The long and short of this Australian report is that tall workers earn significantly more than their vertically challenged counterparts. A 6-foot man can expect a windfall of almost $750 a year. The researchers found there were practical reasons why the size gap translated into a pay gap. Tall people were sometimes more capable of performing certain physical tasks, like reaching high shelves. But the discrepancy is explained mainly by discrimination, the simple fact that society tends to look on tall people as more powerful and smarter, even when they're not. The study from the Australian National University also found that slimmer workers tend to get slimmer pay packets. Fat men earn 5% more than their slender colleagues.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2.
Researchers in Australia have found that tall people earn higher wages than their shorter counterparts. An extra 10 centimeters in height means 3% higher wages. They also found that chubby people earn more than those who are skinnier. From Sydney, here's Nick Bryant. The long and short of this Australian report is that tall workers earn significantly more than their vertically challenged counterparts. A 6-foot man can expect a windfall of almost $750 a year. The researchers found there were practical reasons why the size gap translated into a pay gap. Tall people were sometimes more capable of performing certain physical tasks, like reaching high shelves. But the discrepancy is explained mainly by discrimination, the simple fact that society tends to look on tall people as more powerful and smarter, even when they're not. The study from the Australian National University also found that slimmer workers tend to get slimmer pay packets. Fat men earn 5% more than their slender colleagues.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 3.
Researchers in Australia have found that tall people earn higher wages than their shorter counterparts. An extra 10 centimeters in height means 3% higher wages. They also found that chubby people earn more than those who are skinnier. From Sydney, here's Nick Bryant. The long and short of this Australian report is that tall workers earn significantly more than their vertically challenged counterparts. A 6-foot man can expect a windfall of almost $750 a year. The researchers found there were practical reasons why the size gap translated into a pay gap. Tall people were sometimes more capable of performing certain physical tasks, like reaching high shelves. But the discrepancy is explained mainly by discrimination, the simple fact that society tends to look on tall people as more powerful and smarter, even when they're not. The study from the Australian National University also found that slimmer workers tend to get slimmer pay packets. Fat men earn 5% more than their slender colleagues. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 4.
British Airways has announced record annual losses of more than $600 million. This is the airline's worst performance since it was privatized in 1987. The company's chief executive says he sees no signs of recovery anywhere. Alex Ritson reports. The figures from British Airways were expected to be bad, but not this bad. They are also in sharp contrast to the airline's performance last year, when it made more than $1 billion in profit. The airline is blaming two factors. Firstly, the cost of fuel, which was at near record high at this time last year. And secondly, the credit crunch, which is affecting many airlines. Even more ominous are the comments from BA's chief executive, Willie Welsh. He says this is the harshest trading environment the company has ever faced, and he can see no reasons for things to improve in the near future.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 5.
British Airways has announced record annual losses of more than $600 million. This is the airline's worst performance since it was privatized in 1987. The company's chief executive says he sees no signs of recovery anywhere. Alex Ritson reports. The figures from British Airways were expected to be bad, but not this bad. They are also in sharp contrast to the airline's performance last year, when it made more than $1 billion in profit. The airline is blaming two factors. Firstly, the cost of fuel, which was at near record high at this time last year. And secondly, the credit crunch, which is affecting many airlines. Even more ominous are the comments from BA's chief executive, Willie Welsh. He says this is the harshest trading environment the company has ever faced, and he can see no reasons for things to improve in the near future.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
British Airways has announced record annual losses of more than $600 million. This is the airline's worst performance since it was privatized in 1987. The company's chief executive says he sees no signs of recovery anywhere. Alex Ritson reports. The figures from British Airways were expected to be bad, but not this bad. They are also in sharp contrast to the airline's performance last year, when it made more than $1 billion in profit. The airline is blaming two factors. Firstly, the cost of fuel, which was at near record high at this time last year. And secondly, the credit crunch, which is affecting many airlines. Even more ominous are the comments from BA's chief executive, Willie Welsh. He says this is the harshest trading environment the company has ever faced, and he can see no reasons for things to improve in the near future. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 7.
The report for a body advising the government on copyright looks at consumer attitudes to illegal downloading. Researchers found 1.3 million people online on just one file-sharing network on a weekday, and worked out that over a year they were getting free access to material worth £120 billion. The report says 7 million people who download illegally in the UK can't all be students. Older people must also be involved. But it says there's uncertainty about what is or is not illegal, and the fact that so much information on the internet is free only adds to the confusion. The report warns the government that criminalizing downloaders could have huge economic costs and might not even work.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 8.
The report for a body advising the government on copyright looks at consumer attitudes to illegal downloading. Researchers found 1.3 million people online on just one file-sharing network on a weekday, and worked out that over a year they were getting free access to material worth £120 billion. The report says 7 million people who download illegally in the UK can't all be students. Older people must also be involved. But it says there's uncertainty about what is or is not illegal, and the fact that so much information on the internet is free only adds to the confusion. The report warns the government that criminalizing downloaders could have huge economic costs and might not even work.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 9.
The report for a body advising the government on copyright looks at consumer attitudes to illegal downloading. Researchers found 1.3 million people online on just one file-sharing network on a weekday, and worked out that over a year they were getting free access to material worth £120 billion. The report says 7 million people who download illegally in the UK can't all be students. Older people must also be involved. But it says there's uncertainty about what is or is not illegal, and the fact that so much information on the internet is free only adds to the confusion. The report warns the government that criminalizing downloaders could have huge economic costs and might not even work. Task 4. Now listen to a passage twice and answer questions 10 to 12.
Many people think twice about doctors sticking needles in them. However, research into acupuncture might change people's opinions. A new study into this ancient Chinese therapy shows it is better than usual hospital treatment at relieving back pain. The research team found acupuncture is better for a bad back than the care given in the West. This may be good news for millions of people who suffer from back pain. Up to 85% of us will experience a painful back at some time in our life. The research team surveyed 638 patients with lower back pain. Researcher Dr. Daniel Churkin said all the varieties of acupuncture in the study had beneficial effects when compared to usual treatments. He said acupuncture was both safe and effective. Acupuncture is growing in popularity around the world. It is a technique in which very thin needles are pushed into specific points on the body. Experts say each point has access to a special energy flow. The needles can stop the flow of energy that causes pain. They also say acupuncture is painless. Western doctors do not understand how or why these lines of energy work. The WHO recommends acupuncture for over 20 different medical problems. Dr. Cherkin's study showed acupuncture worked. After 8 weeks, up to 69% of the test patients having acupuncture said their back pain improved. This compares to just 39% for the patients who received conventional care. Many people think twice about doctors sticking needles in them. However, research into acupuncture might change people's opinions. A new study into this ancient Chinese therapy shows it is better than usual hospital treatment at relieving back pain. The research team found acupuncture is better for a bad back than the care given in the West. This may be good news for millions of people who suffer from back pain. Up to 85% of us will experience a painful back at some time in our life. The research team surveyed 638 patients with lower back pain. Researcher Dr. Daniel Cherkin said all the varieties of acupuncture in the study had beneficial effects when compared to usual treatments. He said acupuncture was both safe and effective. Acupuncture is growing in popularity around the world. It is a technique in which very thin needles are pushed into specific points on the body. Experts say each point has access to a special energy flow. The needles can stop the flow of energy that causes pain. They also say acupuncture is painless. Western doctors do not understand how or why these lines of energy work. The WHO recommends acupuncture for over 20 different medical problems. Dr. Cherkin's study showed acupuncture worked. After 8 weeks, up to 69% of the test patients having acupuncture said their back pain improved. This compares to just 39% for the patients who received conventional care.
Section B. Listening-based integrated tasks. Task 1. Listening and dictation.
Good evening, and welcome to tonight's program. Our guest is the world-famous Dr. Charles Adams, who has sparked a great deal of attention over the past several years for his research in the area of language learning. His new book, Learning a Language Over Eggs and Toast, has been on the bestseller list for the past 6 weeks. Welcome to our program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Dr. Adams, tell us about the title of your book, Learning a Language Over Eggs and Toast.
Well, one of the most important keys to learning another language is to establish a regular study program, like planning a few minutes every morning around breakfast time.
Now, sorry for saying this, but your ideas may sound a little simplistic to our viewers. I mean, I took Spanish in high school for 4 years, and I didn't become a proficient speaker of the language.
Well, I think many people feel that way, and that's just it. I'm not implying that we can become fluent speakers in a matter of a few minutes, here and there, but rather following a regular, consistent, and focused course of study can help us on the way to the promised land of language mastery. And remember, there is a difference between native fluency and proficiency in a language, and I am proposing the latter.
So what are some of the basic keys you are suggesting in the book?
Well, as I just mentioned, people need to plan out their study by setting realistic and attainable goals from the beginning. I mean, some people get caught up in the craze of learning the language in 30 days, only to become disenchanted when they don't perform up to their expectations. And small steps, little by little, are the key. For example, planning to learn 5 new vocabulary words a day and to learn to use them actively is far better than learning 30 and forgetting them the next day.
Now, you mentioned something about maximizing your learning potential by learning about your own individual learning styles. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. People often have different ways of learning and approach learning tasks differently. Some people are visual learners who prefer to see models of the patterns they are expected to learn. Others are auditory learners who favor hearing instructions, for example, over reading them. Now, our preferences are determined by many factors, for example, personality, culture, and past experience.
Well, Dr. Adams, what is your learning style?
Well, I'm a very tactile learner.
You mean one who learns through hands-on experience?
Exactly.
So how does knowing your learning style benefit you?
Well, this might seem a little unusual. But moving around while trying to learn and memorize material helps me a great deal. While I cut up tomatoes and onions for my omelette in the morning, I might recite aloud vocabulary to the rhythm of the knife. But it is important to remember that often our learning styles are not singular in nature, but are often very multidimensional, and we tend to learn differently in different situations.
So what is my learning style?
Well, you're going to have to read my book to find that out.
Okay, we have just found out from Dr. Charles Adams, author of the book Learning Languages Over Eggs and Toast. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Good evening, and welcome to tonight's program. Our guest is the world-famous Dr. Charles Adams, who has sparked a great deal of attention over the past several years for his research in the area of language learning. His new book, Learning a Language Over Eggs and Toast, has been on the bestseller list for the past 6 weeks. Welcome to our program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Dr. Adams, tell us about the title of your book, Learning a Language Over Eggs and Toast.
Well, one of the most important keys to learning another language is to establish a regular study program, like planning a few minutes every morning around breakfast time.
Now, sorry for saying this, but your ideas may sound a little simplistic to our viewers. I mean, I took Spanish in high school for 4 years, and I didn't become a proficient speaker of the language.
Well, I think many people feel that way, and that's just it. I'm not implying that we can become fluent speakers in a matter of a few minutes here and there, but rather following a regular, consistent, and focused course of study can help us on the way to the promised land of language mastery. And remember, there is a difference between native fluency and proficiency in a language, and I am proposing the latter.
So what are some of the basic keys you are suggesting in the book?
Well, as I just mentioned, people need to plan out their study by setting realistic and attainable goals from the beginning. I mean, some people get caught up in the craze of learning the language in 30 days, only to become disenchanted when they don't perform up to their expectations. And small steps, little by little, are the key. For example, planning to learn 5 new vocabulary words a day and to learn to use them actively is far better than learning 30 and forgetting them the next day.
Now, you mentioned something about maximizing your learning potential by learning about your own individual learning styles. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. People often have different ways of learning and approach learning tasks differently. Some people are visual learners who prefer to see models of the patterns they are expected to learn. Others are auditory learners who favor hearing instructions, for example, over reading them. Now, our preferences are determined by many factors, for example, personality, culture, and past experience.
Well, Dr. Adams, what is your learning style?
Well, I'm a very tactile learner.
You mean one who learns through hands-on experience?
Exactly.
So how does knowing your learning style benefit you?
Well, this might seem a little unusual. But moving around while trying to learn and memorize material helps me a great deal. While I cut up tomatoes and onions for my omelette in the morning, I might recite aloud vocabulary to the rhythm of the knife, but it is important to remember that often our learning styles are not singular in nature, but are often very multidimensional, and we tend to learn differently in different situations.
So what is my learning style?
Well, you're going to have to read my book to find that out.
Okay, we have just found out from Dr. Charles Adams, author of the book Learning Languages Over Eggs and Toast. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.